You know, it's been a good week. Amen? Those of you that were involved with VBS are probably wore out, probably tired. But we have been rejoicing in God's goodness. And this morning I got up a little tired, a little weary. And it reminded me of an email that somebody sent me a short while ago. I don't know how old this person was, but I think they know how old I am. The title is Perks of Reaching 50. One of the perks is kidnappers are no longer interested in you. I guess that's a perk. That's kind of how I felt this morning. One of the perks of reaching 50 or going on to 60 or even heading towards 70, no one expects you to run anywhere. And there's a lot more on here, but I'll just say this one because I wear glasses. One of the perks of reaching 50 says your eyes aren't going to get much worse. They've already gotten as bad as they're going to get. Some days we wake up feeling like that, don't we? 50, 60, or not. You know, this week during VBS, I was just delighted in the staff and the children that were here. You may not know this, but our staff, some of them were asked to play a role. Hometown, Nazareth, where Jesus was a kid, was the theme. And our staff in certain places, maybe they were the quarry person of Nazareth, or the farmer, or the whatever they were out here, but they were asked to play a role. And that role was to give kids some negative feedback about Jesus. So the kids and their leader were, you can see there was 12 tribes, 12 different sets of kids, and they had a leader or two. And they were supposed to pick up on that. I'm going to the farmer's station here, and the farmer is saying, well, I worship many gods. And see, we were supposed to help them understand, wait a second. And so our children were picking up on this, and their leaders were helping them, and picking up on it to the tune of, I was standing back listening from time to time as kids would go to different areas. I was listening to one person say, because this was their role, you know what? I've heard about this Jesus. But I'm not sure I subscribe to all that. And so they're playing their role. And I heard several comments from our children. One was, after this negative feedback, one of our children said to the leader, you better go to church. I looked at the station person and we couldn't help but laugh. The next day, I also overheard as one of, and this was a completely different person, different child, but there was that negative feedback. Are you sure Jesus is real? The child says, you better start reading your Bible. But the classic was this. Our quarry man out here, he was playing the role really, really good. And one young lady, just a little old gal, young but vibrant in her heart, she said, because he was going the wrong path with his speech. That was his role. And she said, you need to have Jesus in your life. You better get Jesus in your heart. And that very night, I talked to the kids in our closing 5 minutes or so about inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life. She then comes back to our quarry master and says, have you got Jesus now? What an evangelist, this little 10, 12-year-old. So we've had a good week. We've had a week of ups and downs, as a matter of fact. Our VBS week has been tremendous, and yet in our community here and in your families, we've lost very young people. And so we've had a week of ups and downs, but you know, as I think about it, friends, that's how life is. Got some ups and got some downs. And there's been a quote from a man to Jesus in Mark chapter 9 that's been bouncing around between my ears for a number of days. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at a little story. A little story about a man that I have an idea felt that day like some of your days. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. And it's going to be on the big screen if you'd like to watch it there. And I'm going to read this story that I'm quite sure you're familiar with. And we're going to end with this quote from this father. Because in the ups and downs of life, I know that sometimes you feel this way because I've heard from you. I know that sometimes I've felt this way, and God knows I've cried out to Him this way. And so let's take a look together at this little story from Mark chapter 9. I'm beginning with verse 14. Follow along with your Bibles or on the big screen if you like. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet Him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, he grinds at his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the devil, the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, I'm reading from the New Living. Some of your Bibles will be just a bit different. Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him." And listen to the heart and the passion and the weariness of the Father in these next couple of phrases. Here's what he says: "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Verse 23. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." You see, the man was coming in desperation, in anguish of heart, and Jesus was replying, "How's your faith today?" And so Jesus says, "Anything is possible if a person believes." And the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Some of you, perhaps like me, memorized this verse from the King James Version some time back. And I love what it states. Verse 24, King James Version. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You hear the heart of this father? "I do believe, O God, but help me in my unbelief. Help me in my faith. Help me in my disappointment, in my, even shall I say, wavering in my faith. I think this phrase has been rattling around in my mind this week because I know that we as people today have been there. I've heard your stories. I've talked with lots of you. I know that some days we have been there crying out to God, "I do believe, O God, but please," and we come to the point as the Father did, "if you can, if you will, help thou mine unbelief. Even when we have placed our trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, there are still days we wonder about, isn't there? Isn't there? There are days we wonder about. We start to get a little bit like the father in this story. My son has been sick a long time. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing. We start to wonder. We start to get like the father. This dad of this boy. We start to rationalize. Well, I've done this and I've done that and he's still this way. We start to grow weary in our faith. We start to grow disappointed in our faith. We start to waver. We start to have a question or two for God, don't we? God, why this or why that? And we come like the man who had the evil spirit-possessed boy and say, Father God, Jesus, if you can, do something, do something. You see, friends, this isn't just a story about a dad and his boy at the time of Jesus, although it is that indeed. It's also a story that applies to our lives today. It's a story that is applicable to us in our own struggle, in our faith some days. Oh yeah, some days are better than others. Our faith is strong and vibrant, and we're ready to charge into the battle for the Lord. And some days, it's just not that strong. We struggle sometimes when prayers don't get answered. We struggle sometimes when I brought my child or myself and my affliction to the elders of the church, just like the Bible says, and I'm still not well. We struggle with weariness and disappointment and questions and sometimes even wavering. When we talk about our stories, there's all kinds of stories in our own midst of cancer and heart problems and meningitis and lupus and wheelchairs and marriages and children not loving God. Matter of fact, not even liking Him. Sometimes parents either. There's stories in our midst of disappointment and anxiety and heartache. I've dealt even this last week with two more sets of folks that are homeless. The stories that are part of our everyday lives. Lost our job. Car broke down again. Just been to one more of my family's funeral. The stories of disappointment that challenge and tug at your faith. And we find ourselves like the man in this story that says in the NIV version, if you can do anything, Father, take pity on us and help us. That's the NIV version. We come in desperation sometimes, crying out to God, if you could offer me a little encouragement, a little sign today, Father. A little sign today, Jesus. Take pity on me and help me. And the words of the Master comes back and says to us, anything is possible if a person believes. And I've wondered about that. What does he mean, anything is possible if a person believes? Well, we look to the story and we see that the boy was healed of this demonic influence. What does he mean when he talks about anything is possible? I know one thing to be true. Heaven is possible when we believe. I know another thing is true in this application right here. Spiritual wholeness is possible when we believe. We may not always be in perfect health. The cancer may remain. The affliction that I'm suffering with may remain. But Jesus is challenging this dad, when you believe in me, you will be well in your soul. You will be well in your heart. And so what does he mean when he says, anything is possible if a person believes? I believe these things are true to receive strength for the day from the Master is true. To receive another dose of grace from the Father to get me through is true. Or His mercy. You say, well, Jim, what about $1 million? What about if that's possible too? Well, that may not be His will. Maybe even complete healing of physical body is not His will. But spiritual wholeness in Christ is real. And then we argue like the dad. Well, I took him to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing. Only we use the argument, well, I went to church. Matter of fact, I even had him put my name in the prayer focus. And we argue and we rationalize in our spirit, God, if you will be able, or as the NIV says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. We find ourselves just like the dad. And I want to ask you the question, just a couple more questions and one more little scripture verse before I close. How's your faith holding up in the challenges of life? Do we find ourselves like the dad, saying, Lord, I believe, but I sure need a dose of your encouragement and your help and your grace today. Help thou mine unbelief. How is your faith holding up in the challenges of life today, friends? The father of the boy in this story was saying, Lord, I've got faith. Help me when I don't have enough. Help me to stay steadfast and focused on you when I haven't got enough. I'm wavering here. My boy hasn't been healed even by your disciples. He's been this way his whole life. The devil has tried to kill him, throws him in the water, throws him in the fire, falls on the ground as dead, foaming at the mouth. I'm wavering here. I'm struggling just a little bit in my faith. Help thou mine unbelief. That's what I hear people saying today on a real regular basis, going through the battle of life. I hear the beautiful story about, Jim, I've placed my faith in Christ, but I don't know how much more I can take. Those are the words I heard just a few days ago. I know God is on the throne. I know Jesus is real. He's real to me, but I've already lost one child, about to lose my husband, daughter's in the hospital. I don't know how much more I can take. We get there, don't we? The same place this man was with his boy, and we cry out and say, Jesus, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you at the same time. Do you really believe, friends, His words that says anything is possible if you only believe? His spiritual healing and health for you is possible if we only believe. His comforting embrace, the Prince of Peace, resting in Him is possible if we'll only believe. And then let me bring it all together with a verse from Matthew 11:28. the invitation to come. Believe, yes. But Matthew 28, I'm going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version, because that's the Bible I got along with me. Jesus' invitation to you when you are weary, when your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or whatever it is going through something like this boy is going through, the invitation of Jesus is this: come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. Come to me, Jesus said. All you that labor, another translation, and are heavy laden, and I, he said, will give you rest. You see, friends, we can't get rest and peace by the world. And so when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest in your weary soul, he means it. And when we are weary and when we are worn and when we are feeling like this dad, disappointed, disillusioned, disheartened, and even wavering in our faith, we must come back to the Master and say, Lord, help thou my unbelief, and remember his invitation to come again. Come to the Master. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And Jesus said, I will give you rest. Hallelujah. That's his promise, friends. And so today, whatever that burden is, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus with it. Lay it down again. You say, Jim, I've been there and done that. Lay it down again, because Jesus said, come. Come to the Master. Come be refreshed by the Master. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure you've even come to the Master for salvation. Maybe you're not sure you've ever surrendered your own heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord. We got to come to the Master and do that first. Be saved in Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way of salvation. And maybe you've done that a long time ago and you're just plain weary. He invites us again to come. Come, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, carrying those heavy loads. And Jesus said, I'll give you rest. And so if you're feeling like the dad today, friends, and I know that some have, are, and will be, because that's how life is, with its ups and downs, cry out to the living God. Cry out to Jesus. And if you have to cry out like the dad, Lord, help my unbelief, then do it. Because the invitation of Jesus is to come to me. Maybe it's to come back to me, but come to Jesus. He says, come to me. Lay your burdens down. Surrender your life to him and allow the Prince of Peace to give you rest. Amen.